Translation and purport by his Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatal, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains, on his knees, the various birds, and on his thighs, the varieties of air. The universal situation is described herein in regard to the complete constitution of the Lord's gigantic universal form. The study of this universal form begins from the soul. Above the soles are the feet, above the feet are the calves, above the calves are the knees, and above the knees are the thighs. Thus, the parts of the universal body, one after another, are described herein. The knees are the place of birds, and above that are varieties of air. The birds can fly over the mountains, and above the birds are varieties of air. So I was just thinking, this path of devotion, path of devotional service, is very purifying. I can't help but notice, like, the longer that I've been here, that purification is always there in one form or another. And after all, we can understand this because it's actually a science, the science of self-realization, which means that by actually practicing, then experientially, we can understand that it's really something that's working. There are so many great schemes in this world about how to make it somewhere or other. Often they just give a positive feeling, but they don't give any results. But actually, by following this path of devotion, we can see the actual results. And of course, everybody is a unique individual, and so therefore, it affects everybody in different ways, but we're all devotees. So for me, one of the doing this class is very purifying, because for me, I read the verse and I have thousands of different thoughts, but when it comes to actually sitting here and trying to relate them, that's another matter altogether. So anyway, I'll try my best to try and say something that is beneficial for all the devotees. So one of the first things that I noticed in this verse immediately is it's like the storytelling of this is Shukadev Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, and of course Shukadev Goswami is a very elevated pure devotee, so every part about Bhagavatam is very pure, it's all pure goodness. So even when Shukadev Goswami, the way he speaks is very complete. So in this verse, when it says, he could have easily have said, because now the universal form has appeared in the previous verse on Monday, and within that form, all the universe was seen. And now in this verse, Shukadev Goswami could have said, thereafter, Bali Maharaj could see all the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. But he says something more. He says, thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary system. So this is what's jumped out of me straight away, because not to forget the whole story of what's going on, that while this is all happening, Bali Maharaj is sitting on the seat of the King of Heaven. It's a very elevated seat, so he has a very good view of what's going on, actually. And also, if you look back earlier in this pastime, at the point when, if you go way back, when the demigods, they killed many of the demons in a particular battle. Of course, it's an eternal war between the demons and demigods that is going on eternally within the universe. But at one point, the demons had really hit the demons, demigods had hit the demons very hard, and many had been killed, including Bali Maharaj. But then, by the mercy of this great sage, Shukracharya, he brought these demons back to life, including Bali Maharaj. And at that point, Bali Maharaj surrendered at the feet of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya became the spiritual master for Bali Maharaj. And therefore, Bali Maharaj attained great powers. He became Brahma Tejas. He great boons of warrior implements were given to him, like chariots and bows and arrows, so that he could be supremely strong. So when Bali Maharaj led the demons to attack Indrapuri, where Indra and all the demigods were, they were supremely strong. And Indra saw them coming, and he ran to Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, and said, where have the demons got this formidable strength? Bali Maharaj seems indomitable. Surely we're going to lose this time. And Brihaspati told them, yes, Bali Maharaj, by serving his spiritual master and all the brahmanas very well, he's attained great power. So now, for sure, the demigods won't be able to defend Indrapuri. The demons will take control. But don't worry, because at some point in the future, Bali Maharaj will defy the order of his spiritual master, and then he will fall. So, knowing that, can see that just by saying this, by reminding us that he's occupying the seat of King Indra, but it's a temporary arrangement, it's not going to last forever. And of course, Bali Maharaj has just previously defied the order of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. So now we can assume that something's going to change. The downfall must come at some point. And of course, if you go back even further, then the reason also that the demons could take the power of heaven at that time was because Lord Indra had created a great offence at Durvasya Muni, and therefore he had been cursed to become very weak, and this weakness had put the demigods in a very weak position, and therefore the demons had noticed this weakness, and then they chose that point to attack, and so they were very successful. So now the demons led by Bali Maharaj have been occupying Indrapuri, and Bali has been sitting on the seat of the King of Heaven, and he's been doing all these different yagyas to make sure that he can have the strength to actually maintain that seat. So there's one verse in Sanatana Goswami, he made many prayers about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's one line of shloka. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, which means Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, and it's very dear to the Vaishnavas because it speaks about the pure supreme pastimes of the Paramahamsas. And so we should know that all these personalities in Bhagavatam are very great souls who have actually approached the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna directly, some more directly than others. But we should know that these are definitely not, we should never think of them in mundane terms. This is a very elevated platform, all of these pastimes. So, but then I was thinking, Bali Maharaj himself, I think there's almost like three ways that he can think, what he must have, thinking of himself as being very charitable and very pious, therefore he had the strength to occupy this seat, full of opulence, strength, it's the power of the demons. But others, including Lord Vamanadeva, when he appeared, Lord Vamanadeva said many favorable things about Bali Maharaj, because Bali Maharaj, he was a great Brahmana as well. He fulfilled many religious principles. And actually it said that under his rule, under the rule of Bali Maharaj, the citizens were very happy, the demons were very happy, because he looked after them very well. He had great strength and great understanding about the religious principles. But the fact was, in other people's eyes, he was also a great demon coming from the Daitya line. And of course this comes from, if you go right back again, from Kashyapa Muni, had many wives, and he was bringing many souls into the world. And of course one wife was Aditi, who is the mother of the demigods. So of course Aditi we met her, she was very concerned when the demons took over from Indrapura. She was very concerned about the livelihood of the demigods and how things might work out. But we also know that another of Kashyapa Muni's wives was Diti, and from Diti came the demon race, as it were. And this happened because one time Diti had approached her husband Kashyapa Muni looking for... She wanted to satisfy her lustful desires, but she approached at a very inappropriate time, and Kashyapa Muni, being a very elevated soul, he knew that this was the wrong time to reciprocate with his wife in this way, so he tried to hold her off, but ultimately, being a man, he gave in at some point to the allures of his wife. And so very inauspicious births came from that. From that came Hiranyakashipu, because it was very inauspicious. There were actually four reasons for that inauspiciousness. One was that Diti's mind was very polluted at the time of conceiving, that conception. The second was that she chose a very inauspicious time for that to happen. The third was she kind of neglected her husband's directions. He tried to guide her, but anyway. And the fourth was she was actually very apathetic to the demigods, because she was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But actually she didn't really care so much even for Lord Shiva's advice. So they did this procreation, and then this demon race came into the world. And of course, after Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj comes along. Because even though she was the mother of the demon race, because she had undergone great austerities, and because she did have devotion, then she was given the boon that also some great devotees would come within that line also. So Prahlad Maharaj came, of course, in that line of demons as the son of Hiranyakashipu. And also Bali Maharaj came later, who's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So it's a very interesting thing how, like, in Bhagavatam, it tells us, like, the histories of all these demons and all the rest of it. In fact, in the purport to one of those verses earlier, Srila Prabhupada says, actually, a demon is one whose father did not follow the regulative principles for birth, which is very interesting. So in previous ages, there were maybe like one or two demons came into the world. But now in Kali Yuga, of course, you know, who is actually following, even amongst devotees, who is actually probably following all the samskaras, the Garbhadhan samskaras? Without Garbhadhan samskara, then there is an auspicious birth. So in Kali Yuga, everybody is actually mostly demonic. And this can be, we just have to consider our place in all of this and understand. But this is shown, it's like, because it's all indicating some kind of like, there's a hierarchy in all of this. And because Lord Brahma, he created, when his part of creation, when he created the three worlds, which later became the 14 worlds, that actually there are hierarchies. There are lower planets, there are middle planets, there are higher planets, heavenly planets, hellish planets. And Lord Brahma sitting at the very top, that's like the highest part of the universe in terms of consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada would often tell these early disciples that about the dangers of this communist idea, that was that there's classless society, everybody's the same. And that idea is still prevalent in the world, but it was very much prevalent at the time of that 60s revolution in which Srila Prabhupada entered the scene. So Srila Prabhupada was warning them that no, this is not correct. Actually, the Vedic understanding is that there is hierarchy of consciousness, and Lord Brahma, he created the whole universe in terms of that, that there should be planetary systems for every living entity according to their state of consciousness. The reason being that on that particular planet, on that particular level, they get the chance to understand. And it's said that this Earth planet, these Earth planets in this middle planetary systems are very auspicious because they give us the opportunity to be like actually very humble and understand our position as servants of Lord Krishna. But we can be humble because it's not exactly the best place for enjoying the senses. Whereas some of the other planets, it's a completely different scenario. So one interesting thing I found was relating to this verse, actually concerning this hierarchy, is at first when I read this, you have, when this Vamana Devas expanded in this Trivikram form, and all the universe suddenly is with him, within him, and there's the lower planetary systems, Bali Maharaj can see all of this in front of him. It's like this form of the Lord is standing with his feet on the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatala, and then how it rises up from the feet to the legs, to the calves, to the thighs, and then it talks about, yeah, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains are there, on his knees, the various birds, and on his thighs, the varieties of air. And at first I was thinking, what does this mean? What's it mean that the knees are the place of the birds? What does that mean? I don't know if anyone knows what that means. But then I looked more deeply into it, and then I was reading that, again related to these pastimes, that earlier on, Diti, at another time, had approached her husband again, Kashyapa Muni, to have a son, because after Lord Vishnu had killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, she was very upset, as you might imagine. So she wanted to have a son who might be able to destroy Indra, because Indra was the one who had persuaded Lord Vishnu to defend the demigods and those planets. So Diti approached her husband, and at first he was okay, but then when she told him what the reason for wanting this son was, then he refused, and he told her she must go and practice some Vaishnav ceremonial sacrifice of purification, which she did. And it was a very powerful vrat, I think it was like just drinking of milk only, if I remember right, something like this, for a long period of time. But Lord Indra was watching her all the time, because Lord Indra's like that. He's always very aware of what the devotees are doing. And at one point, she did something against the vrat. She bypassed one austerity that she was supposed to undergo. And at that point, Lord Indra entered her womb, and the son that was in her womb, he cut this son into 49 different pieces. And so 49 sons were born to Diti, and they became known as the Maruts. And because she had been practicing like as a Vaishnavi, actually all these sons became demigods, and they're called the Maruts, 49 Maruts. And it's said that they are in these lower planets. So these lower planets, these are actually the heavenly planets. I'm just learning about myself. It's like actually the lower planetary systems are the heavenly planets. So when the Lord takes this universal form as Trivikram, his feet are on the lower planets of like Palatala and Rasatala, because the Lord's always start with his lotus feet. So his lotus feet sit on these heavenly planets. And then you have like Rasatala, Palatala, Talatala, Sulatala, I think like this. And actually said that, so it said that there's the mountains, and then there's the birds on the knees, and then there's the varieties of air above that. So it said that on this Sulatala, or I think one of the others, that's where these varieties of air are, and these varieties of air are the Maruts, or these demigods. So it's just, it's It's a very interesting thing about Bhagavatam, how you can relate it. It doesn't directly say this in Bhagavatam, but if you like research a little bit, you can find out these things, which is very, very interesting. So, yeah. Then we can wonder, you know, about this hierarchy, how these middle planets are actually above the lower planetary system. So how can we understand that there's heavenly planets in a lower position, a lower consciousness, and these middle planets must be actually a higher consciousness than that? So it's all a great meditation. What is it that makes a demon and what makes a demigod? Could we see from Bali Maharaj that actually his qualities is very pious. He was following very much Brahminical structure. Lord Vamanadeva was very impressed and pleased with him, and Bali Maharaj received Lord Vamanadeva in the proper way. But of course he was a demon. His main aim is like sense gratification. That's always what he's seeking. That's the consciousness of the demon, like always seeking that. And then the demigods, what's the difference between us, the jiva, and the demigods? And Srila Prabhupada says at one point, really, it's just that if we, as jiva, jivatma, if we take on devotional service and eventually our consciousness is purified to the point that we can take the responsibilities that the demigods can take on. So you can see within, it's all like a mix. It's all going on, that even some demons become demigods in the process if they surrender, if they see that the Supreme Lord, or they hear about him, and they surrender. So the process that we've been given is this universal process of Krishna consciousness, whereas one becomes Krishna consciousness rather than Maya conscious. Shishirada go Gonanda Bhagavanta Jaya Shishitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Shishigonitaya Shimati Vrinda Deva Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Yeah, because all the demigods they are following the Lord's orders very well. They have great responsibilities. There's one really nice prayer in the fifth canto. It's Namo Jyotir Lokaya Kalayanaya Nimisham Patayam Apurushaya Bidimahiti. It says, O Lord, who assumes the form of time, O shelter for all the planets moving in their different orbits, O Master of demigods, O Supreme Person, I offer my humble obeisance to you and I meditate upon you. So the demigods, they're constantly aware of the Supreme Lord in this way, and they're following his instruction. And in the beginning of the creation, they approached Brahma, Lord Brahma, with concern about how can we do our service properly to maintain the universe. They were very concerned. So we can see that all these personalities, that everybody's kind of on a learning curve. It's not just us. Everybody is learning how to approach the Supreme Lord. That's why we're in the material world, because we're not yet qualified to be in the spiritual realm, which is very interesting. So even though you can see in this ISKCON, even though it's very young, we can see it's very difficult to properly follow the proper grihastha. It's very difficult because we're the minority in the world. Most people are following sense gratification. It's very difficult. It's very difficult for young men to maintain the renounced order of life because of the same reason. So we're very small living entities, but just the fact that we're aspiring with understanding and we're learning how to surrender, then Krishna gives all the mercy by which we can advance and he protects us. So this is the state. And so Lord Vamanadeva, he's proceeded to take his steps. He takes three steps. The first steps cover the lower, first step covers the lower planetary systems. The next step covers the higher planetary systems. And of course, in the process, with his left toe, he pierces the covering of the universe. And from that piercing, a few drops of water from the causal ocean leak through, and they fall on the head of Lord Shiva. And they remain on the head of Lord Shiva for 1,000 millenniums. And gradually they drop down from the head of Lord Shiva, from the matted locks of Lord Shiva. And then they fall, they fall in four different streams. And this is the Ganges, the river Ganges falls down. And some of it falls down into this saltwater ocean and onto this planet as well. So this is the mercy of the Lord. The Lord always comes to restore principles of religion, to destroy the miscreants, and to give benedictions to the devotees that they can proceed in their spiritual life. So the Lord, when he pierced the covering of the universe, the sacred Ganges River fell down and comes down onto the planet, and it's very auspicious for all of mankind. This is the great boon of the Lord. Great boon of the Lord. So it's said that if we enter the Ganges River, which all of us should do, it brings great purification, but externally the body becomes immune to all diseases, and internally we can learn how to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the Ganges River is a great boon. But Trivikram, this word Trivikram, means that there were three steps. So within the first two steps, even the Lord has captured Bali Maharaj. He's caught the miscreant, and even though he's a great devotee, as we'll find out in later verses, what happens as a devotee, because as I said earlier, Bali Maharaj, from his conception, he was very pious and charitable and very favourable to everyone. From other people's point of view, he might have showed those propensities, but still he was from this Decha line, from the demons. But actually who he really was as a devotee is what he really is. And that will be shown in the verses still to come. So that has happened. And also the kingdom of the demigods is now becoming free. It becomes obvious that the demigods will retain the kingdom of heaven. It will return to them. But the third step, this is interesting, how if you think the material world is consisting of the three modes of nature, which is like one quarter of the Lord Vishnu's creation. And this is the reason why Lord Vamanadev, he begged for the three steps of land, because the first steps would be the material universe, but the third step is the most important step. The first step, it concerns, you have in the material world, you have Burloka, which is the gross material manifestation. Then there's Bhuvarloka, which is a subtle creation. And then there's above that, there's the Vaikuntha worlds. So this is the chakra, the meditation, sorry. Burloka, Bhuvarloka, Satchaloka. And so, Svarloka, sorry. So when Vamanadev, by taking the third step, actually this is where he shows that actually he is the Supreme Lord, that everyone should surrender to the Supreme Lord and regain their position in the spiritual world where actually we really belong. So rather than remain in the material worlds, whether it's the heavenly planets or the hellish planets, wherever in this constant cycle of birth, death, old age and disease, we should be aspiring to return to the spiritual planets. So this is a very interesting aspect of what Trivikram is all about. And so also we should desire that purification. In fact, there's one, I found this in the Vishnu Shuktam. These are like prayers which were revealed by Lord Narayan himself in some distant past. And part of it, I won't read the Sanskrit because I won't do service to it properly, but it says, Lord Vishnu had assumed his Trivikram form. By his three steps, he covered the entire universe. Thus, the whole universe achieved the blessings of the dust of his lotus feet. Thus, Lord Vishnu, the protector and maintainer of the universe, by his three steps, re-established the principles of religion and the proper order of the universe. By entering into the universe, he made it indestructible. All of you just see how the confidential friend of Indra, Lord Vishnu, enters our daily life, including our vrats, rituals and sacrifices, through the narration of his pastimes. And then the last two shlokas, you might have heard this before, it's a prayer, is this, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Paragam Satapashanti Suryaha Dviva Chakshur Atatam Tad Vipraso Vivanyavo Jagravagamsa Sumindate Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam. It says, as we can see the sky with our bare eyes, similarly the great sages, the devotees of Lord Vishnu, can always see his abode by their transcendental vision. Wise devotees of the Lord who are expert in glorifying him describe the abode of Lord Vishnu as transcendental. We know another translation that's more familiar to us. Just, it's like, just as ordinary persons see the rays of the sun in the sky, so the wise and learned devotees also see the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. And because those highly praiseworthy and spiritually awake brahmanas can see that abode, they can also reveal it to others. So this is a translation which is suitable for us in this Sampradaya, because it's a preaching mission. So therefore, the point is that by understanding, we shouldn't just keep it to ourselves. Actually, we have a responsibility to let everybody know about it, that everybody else can understand. So therefore, our Sampradaya is about like book distribution and Harinams and preaching and just kirtans, any way by which material conditioned persons might just, by the mercy, be able to take up themselves this process. So we, as jiva souls, we're all in the world, and we know that we're the superior energy of the Lord. You know, the living entities, but as such, because we're in the material world, we're disturbed by the material energy, which is controlled by Maya Durga. So therefore, we tend to try to exploit the resources of the material world. We lose our understanding, we lose our pure understanding, and we try to rather exploit it. So therefore, we get stuck on the wheel of birth and death under the direction of the Lord. But actually, the Lord is like, in that wheel of birth and death, the center point of that wheel is Super Soul Paramatma. And of course, Paramatma sits in our heart to always remind us. So, this verse, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Hirdeshi Arjuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarvabhutani, Yantra Rudani Mayaya. So the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as in a machine made of the material energy. So without the proper understanding, we're stuck within the material energy, and therefore we're understanding the Lord in terms of the aspect of time, of Kala. So we're seeing the Lord as just the passing of time and the fluctuations within that time of good things happening and bad things happening to us. But actually, we should know that the Supreme Lord is actually within everything. So he's within this gigantic form that Lord Vamanadeva shows. All the universe is within him. So immediately everybody should know that he is the Supreme Lord. He can be unchallenged. The same way when he appeared to Arjuna, one of the points that everyone should understand that Krishna was Supreme Lord, and that anybody who comes in the future, especially in Kali Yuga, pretending to be God, they should show their universal form to prove that they are the Supreme Lord. So the universal form comes for different reasons. And another prayer, this from the Purusha Shukta, It's a very nice verse. It says, Lord Hari, as the universal form, has unlimited heads pervading everywhere, thus he knows everything. Lord Hari has unlimited eyes pervading everywhere, thus he sees everything. Lord Hari, as the universal form, has unlimited feet pervading everything, thus he is able to go anywhere. In fact, after thus pervading everything, Lord Hari is expanded beyond all this by 10 inches. This 10 inches refers to the Paramatma who sits in the heart. It's described, he's about the length between the thumb and the small finger, sits in the heart of every living entity, guiding every living entity. But of course we have to be awake and surrender to understand this. So I'm completely running out of time. I could go on for another hour or so easily, but just to... That's life. But anyway, so for most people, in fact the best part I didn't get time to do, so anyway... But most people are stuck in this very material identity. So in terms of the universal form, most people are actually, if you don't know about Krishna and relationship, then we'll tend to fear God. And when death comes, death is very challenging to the materially conditioned person, because all of a sudden, it must be a very fearful situation as described, because if we're thinking only of our personal body and family and friends and countrymen, and that's our whole consideration, then we've completely missed the whole point of the human form of life. So that God may be a force or a provider in the world, but actually never a personal friend. So this is the point that we should learn, that the Lord is our personal friend. And if we don't develop a relationship with Krishna in this lifetime, then how can we approach him? So therefore we will have to continue life within the material creation, within the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. And so it's frustrating for us as devotees to know this, because we want everyone to understand this, you know. And because we practice humility ourselves, we don't get all puffed up about the fact that, yes, we are very now elevated and our consciousness is very high. In this universal consciousness hierarchy, we're actually quite high up, because we're very small jiva souls. It's all mercy that we've been given this from Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya sent his great general, Srila Prabhupada, who was like Abhay, fearless. He was the one who could come onto this planet and give the teachings of Krishna consciousness and make it grow from almost nothing. It's just inconceivable. So we're all very much mercy cases. But it's frustrating as devotees, because when we go out and speak to people on the street, try and give them books, whatever, so many times you can see that something in them, they might be interested up to a point, and then something in them clicks, and then they back off. It's like, no, I want to, I'm enjoying my sense gratification, I still have to enjoy this and this and this. So at some level they know about their position as jiva souls and their relationship with Supreme Lord, but they're not ready for it. But any, the smallest advancement helps. So it's very frustrating. Like, I can't profess to be a great book distributor, but the more I've done it, the more I've enjoyed it. And you meet someone and they try to get them to actually take the book. They might be reciprocating, and then they'll go away and they won't take the book. They won't give you any donation. And then you see them later and they're giving money to some charity worker who's trying to like preserve the habitats of the giant pandas or something, you know, because that's their level. They can understand that I'll give money to help the giant pandas. But they didn't understand that this book was about giving them the chance for like eternal life. There's nothing wrong with protecting giant pandas, of course, because they're having a very difficult time in Kali Yuga. I'm running out of time, but the female giant panda, she's only ready, it's only like a 2-3 hour gap once a year when she's ready to receive the male giant panda. But the male giant panda, he's ready like 6 months before, and he has to travel great distances to find the female giant panda. There's not so many of them. But one problem he's got is because he has to eat so much food. The only thing he eats is bamboo, and it's not enough to give him much energy. It's just enough to sustain him. So he has to like go on, go on, go on, go over, feeling very weak all the time, trying to find this female giant panda. And then if he doesn't get this like 2-3 hour slot, then it's not going to happen. So I learned because I was working in China and I heard a lot about giant pandas. It was very interesting. So it's not only us who are having trouble in this age, this very difficult age, Kali Yuga. So, but the main thing is that even if someone at one time chants the holy name or tastes prasadam, then that's enough. It's like Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai Seven Mukhi Hijiva Dao Svayameva Sparacha Dao. So with our material senses, we can't understand the Supreme Lord or his pastimes or his qualities. But when we take up the path of devotion somehow, even if the Mahamantra enters the ears through hearing it in kirtan or something, or whatever, and then it's chanted or prasadam's taken, then the tongue's purified, and gradually one comes to understand gradually who Krishna really is. So this is a great fortune for us. So Krishna has two faces. As the universal form, he shows this very fearsome form of time and ultimately death to the material conditioned person. But for the devotee or one who surrenders to him, then there's Krishna's beautiful smiling face, which is very attractive. It's like increasingly attractive. And in this way, everything is done. So the universal form is very fearsome. In fact, yeah, one last thing I'd like to say is about the late Suhotra Swami. He said about this, about when they, in 1945, when the one Dr. Oppenheimer, he was like playing around with nuclear weapons, and he exploded this atom bomb in the desert in New Mexico. And there was, for example, one local person who happened to be just going along in New Mexico, and suddenly they saw this like great form, if the sun rose and then it set immediately and then rose up again. What's that? But Dr. Oppenheimer, he knew, and actually he read from the Bhagavad Gita. He was very interested in Eastern philosophy, and he quoted this verse that time I am, destroyer of the worlds. So, you know, it's all going on. So basically, I think maybe I should stop here because we're running out of time. Maybe someone wants to add something, or if it's maybe some question, maybe I can try and answer.